This is the Baller on a Budget podcast. I'm Eileen, your host and your favorite baller on a budget. This isn't just a podcast about money management. We talk about all the juicy bits that surround money, the taboo, the heartbreak, the struggle, and the ridiculous moments we all face when it comes to saving some extra cash. Ready? Let's go. All right, everybody, happy Valentine's Day.
So we have a juicy episode today. In lieu of this holiday that pressures us to find our worth in other people and buy things for them that we just can't afford, it's Valentine's Day, you guys. And we are doing a special little segment for Valentine's Day with a twist. So we actually casted a poll on Instagram the other day, and I asked everybody if they wanted to hear about my experiences with dating or if they wanted to hear my experience with being a sugar baby. And of course, everybody wanted to hear the experience of being a sugar baby. So I actually have a guest here today who actually lived to tell the tale. She also had the sugar baby experience with me, and this is Jen, darling.
Hello, everyone. Let me introduce you as my alter ego, Jen, darling, or for simpler purposes, I can just be sugar baby number two during this podcast.
Yeah, so basically this is number one and number two. This is Tweedledee and Tweedledum's experiences as sugar baby.
Dee-dee-dee.
I'm pretty sure we're all pretty familiar with what a sugar baby is, but sugaring or being a sugar baby is basically just a paid version of online dating. It's like we have the free version and then we got the premium version. So this is a premium girlfriend experience. Basically an arranged relationship where one person provides for another. So we got the sugar babies who get taken care of and we get the sugar daddies or mamas, you know, we're inclusive here. So we got sugar daddies and sugar mamas, basically people who have money, and you have this financial arrangement with them in which, you know, you get cash or you get your lifestyle expenses paid for. And to be clear, everybody, it's not prostitution. I don't know how many times I have to say this.
Absolutely. And we're going to definitely define having to reiterate that quite a bit.
Yeah, it's such a gray area because it's basically like companionship that you pay for. Like, there are a lot of wealthy men who are just like lonely and they want to have somebody around them for whatever reason. Maybe they just want to go to lunch with somebody, or, you know, maybe they want to go on a vacation with somebody or whatever. Like, it's kind of like the same territory as regular online dating. You really kind of don't know what every person's situation is going to be like, and depends on the personality. It depends on like the chemistry. And then after that, things like love and sex are such a gray area because it's just one of those things where it's still dating. It's just paid dating. It's not prostitution. If you are vibing with this person, you just let things happen organically, right? Let's talk about all the arrangements, because there's three types of daddies, right?
Yes.
Okay, so which ones are they?
So typically you have the gift experience daddy, you have bills daddy, and you have cash daddy.
Aren't like cash daddies, like they're the hardest ones to find, right?
They are, because, you know, you think that it's going to be so simple. I'm desirable.
I'm cute. Pay me for being
I'm
cute.
I'm beautiful. Pay me for being beautiful. But to be honest, the beautiful to the daddy is outnumbered. So you actually have to offer more than just being arm candy or just being an illusion. You really have to make yourself marketable in a way that speaks to these men that are actually successful and are surprisingly, at least it was to my surprise, are looking for more depth.
Right. And that's such a shocker compared to like modern day like bullshit Tinder or like I like to call Facebook Marketplace. It's really Facebook dating, but honestly, that place feels like Facebook Marketplace to me.
It really does.
But yeah, so there's three types of daddies. Cash daddy is king. And then we have the gifts and experiences daddy, which is like It is like,
so, you know, you have the person who wants to spoil you with any luxuries that you can think of, and I would like to coin the phrase, if it doesn't already exist, entrepreneurial daddy. You know, in my experience, I came across profiles that specifically stated things like, I'm not here to pay your bills. However, if you're trying to build a business, I can help you. I can help you from the business end to build that.
So he, like, basically is like your investor.
So from my interpretation of what I read on these bios, it sounded like this was the type of person who wanted to provide their contacts, their experience, their knowledge into helping you build your own future.
That is like, business daddy. Okay, I need one, to be honest with
or
you.
Or network daddy, I guess.
Okay,
network daddy.
Yeah, I would actually, that's like a subcategory of like gifts and experiences daddy. But like, I guess like the overarching for gifts and experiences is like, basically this type of daddy will like buy you shoes, buy you clothes, take you out, go on vacations with you. But you basically aren't getting paid in cash. Like they'll pay for your lifestyle, but... Or, like, they'll, you know, like, you ask them for anything, like, you basically have, like, a wish list or something like that, and they'll just buy whatever's on your wish list, or, like, oh, like, take me to Bali, and they'll just be like, say no more, fam, and then just take you on their private jet, and yes, you guys, like, you think I'm playing, but, like, for real, some of these men are loaded.
Absolutely.
Yeah, especially in, like, the metropolitan city areas, like, LA, New York, you're gonna have a lot of business financier daddies, so there's that. So, okay, cash daddy, gifts and experiences daddy, and then there's bills daddy, right?
Yes.
So Bill's daddy is basically the one who literally pays for all your bills. Like, I've heard so many stories of, like, these women basically, like, getting their mortgages paid off because their daddy just, like, basically either, like, bought the house in cash or, like, just paid for rent or, like, paid for their car or, like, paid off their credit card. I've actually heard that it's common for sugar babies to actually have their house paid off. Like, their whole mortgage note gets paid off.
Mm.
Or, like, they will have their rent paid for every single month or and their utilities or, like, their car. So that's Bill's daddy. Bill's daddy makes sure you don't gotta worry about whether or not you can make rent. So... sugar daddies are just hella picky because it's like, this is so much more different than just like regular Tinder dating because there's more on the line. You know, they're paying for this. So it's kind of like customer service. Like, well, I just want to make sure that like I get exactly what I want. So like, give me the right girlfriend experience. Like, if a dude is into a curvy girl, like he's not going to pay money to not be with a curvy girl. Or if he doesn't, like, if he wants somebody who's more physically active so that they can go hiking together and work out together, he's not going to want someone who's not active because, it's like, what am I paying for at this point? So, it was interesting. I feel like, in a lot of ways, was kind of like an actress when I was
definitely
looking for prospects because I was like, ooh, boy, like, you like this? Like, I'm also into this. Like, suddenly it was like, oh my god, I'm so fit. I love going to the gym. My ass never wants to go to the gym. I'm such a liar. This is probably shady. So, like, actually, don't take that as good advice.
Be no, honest. Definitely not.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, don't catfish like I did. But it's crazy, like, looking back, the headspace that we were in at that time, I just remember we were just kind of, like, casually chatting, and we were talking about, like, how poor we were.
and we were trying to be business women and theorize on what ways we could become financially successful.
Yeah, like, we were just like, oh, man, wouldn't that be great if we just, like, quit our jobs and just, like, live our best lives? And then we kind of, remember we had that joke about, like, oh, let's sell feet pictures. And then we just like looked at each other. I will never forget. Like we just kind of like laughed and then we like seriously looked at each other and then there was like that moment of silence.
Like who's going to say it first?
Who's
like, yeah, let's do it.
Like, wait, are you serious or are you just fucking with me? Cuz I'm serious. Like, girl, I got bills to pay. So then we started talking about like it went from like feet pictures and then it was like used shoes. And then suddenly we were like, okay, but like what about sugaring? And then we both looked at each other, we're like, okay, let's fucking do it. So we did our research. That was crazy. We thought we were out here like, oh, so young and dumb,
you know. Young and dumb, but we did our research.
We really did. But like, we just, I remember we were like, oh, it's gonna be so easy, like if we could just get like an extra $10,000 a month, that would totally change everything.
And then I could quit forever.
And then I could retire on that 10 G's. I just remember we had the audacity to be like, we just need to get one date. And it just needs to be worth $5,000 and then we'll be good for the rest of our lives.
Well, you know, I think that the feet pick is the running joke in, I think, every female circle. You know, it seems like it's the get rich quick scheme.
It really is, because then you, like, you go on social media and then you realize that, like, there are a bunch of creepos who, like, will creep on your pictures, like, zoom in and see, like, oh my god, this girl's feet.
And they're getting it for free.
And they're getting it for free. I do not post, like, pictures of my toes anymore. Like, it's just like, if my foot is, like, on the edge of the picture, I just crop out my toes. Like, you do not get to see cleavage unless you pay me. I know. Like, Venmo me.
Unless you're buying the Louis that go in the foot, the
exactly.
reveal.
Exactly. The toe cleavage. See? She is a businesswoman. This is actually why she did a significantly better job at me than being a sugar baby.
let's make it to the end of the story before we come to that conclusion.
Okay, but you can make a lot of money, though. I know that we were joking about, like, oh, like, we just need to, you know, get, like, a $5,000 date. But I have met a lot of people who make six figures from sugaring, which is insane to me. But it's, like, they treat it like a literal business. I think it's just such a variable factor thing. It's kind of, like, I guess the equivalent of, like, being a realtor. Mm. You know, like, you can go and be a realtor, but unless you close a deal, you're basically not making money.
Basically,
yeah. Yes. And then we've got like struggling realtors, and then we've got like the ones who are like realtors for like celebrities, and like they just have to do like one deal and they're just like set. So it's just like one of those things where you have to build your clientele, and you know, it's kind of like a customer service job, and like you have to know how to run your business. You have to know how to like set up a good portfolio. You have to be a good people person. You know, if you're not, like, really a social butterfly, if you're, like, introverted, you are going to struggle because...
Absolutely.
You need to be good at flirting. You need to be good at dating.
Absolutely. And most of these men, they're... Some of them, a great deal of them, are looking to escape from their everyday life. They're rich because they obviously have very taxing jobs that are very stressful. And they're looking to someone who they're attracted to, who they have similar tastes with, that they can kind of escape that reality.
Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, it's possible to fuck around and fall in love. Like I think it's just like, it's like two sides of a coin, because there are some people who treat it like actual dating. Like, they're like, I really want to find like a man that is dateable, that I can marry, that also is wealthy. You know, it's just like, maybe it's just preferential. They just want a man who, you know, can pay for their lifestyle or whatever. And then there's the other side of the coin, which was us, Tweedledee and Tweedledum. We were out here like, we're just approaching this as a business. We're going to have double lives. We're just going to pretend to be certain people that we're not.
Well, we did participate. We did participate in the first conversation. And, you know, we kind of talked about the different avenues. And we talked about, you know, what is the difference between this and your regular dating? At least here, these men have their lives put together. Might potentially be more serious since they have their lives put together. Right. And so, you know, we got to this point where we were just like, well, why the hell not? The other one isn't treating us so well, so why not do it in a way that might treat us a whole lot better?
It's literally just like dating. There are so many variables to it. I think it's dependent on, like, the other person's personality. It's dependent on your personality, the success rate, the chemistry between both parties. You know, and, you know, like, you can either treat it as business or you can fall in love. I know that there was, I saw this article where there was this lady who was getting paid, like, $300 per every single date with this guy, and she actually wound up marrying him because they actually fell in love. And then, you know, like, there was this other girl who, I think she made, like, $5,000 because she went on vacation for a week with her sugar daddy. So then, like, he paid for everything, and then she got paid $5,000. And then she realized she could turn it into a full-time business. Mm-hmm. And here she is, like, this top-tier sugar baby who makes, like, over six figures a year.
And that was another thing that really shook me up, was when I realized there's different levels of being a sugar baby. And like you said, there's tiers of it. And it becomes very competitive to you as you're kind of going through these profiles and realizing, like, what you're being matched up against, what you have to compete with.
Yeah, it's a competitive marketplace, that's for sure. Like, you've got girls who are, like, just on their fitness. Like, they have, like, an intense beauty regimen. Like, they are just really selling that product. They are selling the packaging, baby.
And they look the part. They look the part of what you would stereotypically think in your head, like, this is a sugar baby.
Right, right. So just, like, perfect girlfriend kind of thing. But you know what? There are actually a lot of, like, college students who actually sugar to pay their bills. Like, there was this other article that I read where, you know, USC and UCLA, those colleges, have actually the largest number of students across all other colleges in the country that have double lives as sugar babies. So it's like, it's super prevalent in like the LA area where like a lot of young girls, they're unsuspecting sugar babies and they're just doing it because they're trying to pay tuition. Like the fact that we have to do this.
It does make sense that there would be such a large sugar baby population in that LA area. I mean, living in LA is stupid expensive.
Yeah.
Tuition in LA is stupid expensive. Yeah. Unless your parents are stinking rich, how else does a person survive?
I mean, I don't blame them. We figured that with all these college students out here, you know, sugaring, well, shit, if they can do it, so could I. So, so we made a game plan. It was a nightmare because we had the game plan and then what actually happened was a completely different story. So we went on this website, right? It's called Seeking Arrangement. I know there's a couple other sugaring websites.
Oh, there's a number of them.
Yeah, I think the most popular ones is like Seeking Arrangement and then I think it's sugardaddy.com. So we had to create like these profiles, like dating profiles. And before our profiles could even go live, like, we had to fill the whole thing out and we had to, like, put a lot of thought in our profile. Like, unlike, you know, regular dating apps that only give you about, like, what, 150 characters or something like that, they give you so much room to, like, construct this really elaborate
You could really write profile. A small essay.
You could really write a small essay. And me being a writer, yeah, like, we had walls and walls of text. And I feel like I sold the shit out of my services. I was like a Miss Ma'am copywriter over here making this perfect ad for the perfect girlfriend. And yeah, so like we made fake names.
We did.
Yes. And then we went through all of our pictures. Oh, like, so, okay. Pro tip, you guys. If you guys ever do this, do not use old pictures that are posted on the internet. Because people can reverse look them up on Google. Mm. Like, they can save your picture and like, look it up on Google and then it will point back to like wherever that picture is floating on the internet so they can actually find your real identity.
Yep.
So if you really like, if you're trying to safeguard your identity as you should with even regular dating apps, you know, use new pictures, take pictures specifically for the website. And I know that that's what we did. Like I was scouring through like unpublished pictures in my backlog and I know that we like took pictures for you. So yeah, we had to go through this elaborate process of like making these profiles and then we had to wait to get our profiles approved. Yeah,
we also did some research. We found some profiles that already existed to kind of have an idea of what kind of information these girls were putting out there just to get an idea.
Yeah, so like we were kind of analyzing our competition. We were like reading these articles on like what to share and not to share on your
and profile. I think we just sat down and hashed out, who are we trying to present?
Right.
Who are we putting out there?
Yeah. And I think it was like, we were ourselves, but like a really amplified, like super hyper marketed version of us, like on steroids. Like,
which is not my wheelhouse and it's not in my comfort zone. So this was like the perfect pairing because for once in my life, more than in an actual interview, I was like, I really need to make myself seem like, well, I need to present myself as a sparkly diamond that I am.
Yeah. And you know, that's kind of going to be really rough for you guys if you've got a low self-esteem or if you're struggling with, like, believing in yourself. Because let me tell you, that sugar, the sugar marketplace, I guess, you really got to believe in yourself.
I prefer the word humble, but okay. We get what you're saying.
You're right. So, yeah, like, I remember going on, like, thesugarsisters.com and I was, like, listening to the Sugar Baby Confessionals podcast. Like, there's so much out there that I was, like, really learning about the process of what it was like to sugar. And yeah, and then we felt confident. So like we got our profiles approved and then we started chatting with guys. We started flirting with guys, trying to get these dates.
But of course, like I said, there are more sugar daddy to sugar baby ratio. So we wound up actually matching with a lot of the same guys. And
yeah, oh my God, really cross-referenced. I remember
cross-referencing.
Like at the end of every day, we would be like, okay, status report. Like here are the men that I've matched with and who I'm talking to. And then we'd be like, oh my God, you're also talking to him too.
What are their terms? What are they offering?
Yeah, like how much money are they offering? I remember. Do you remember that one guy who was like, "Oh, what was it? What did he offer? Us like 250 or 500?"
No, it was 500.
Yeah. So this guy we both matched up with at the same time. We cross compared just to see if he was like cheating one of us or like yeah. ripping us off. But he offered both of us. He was like, "If the first date goes well, then we'll set up like what is it like a per date allowance of like $500. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like we were like in that process of like negotiating terms and things like that. It was pretty crazy. Okay, so here's my philosophy. I would intentionally go, this is gonna sound so bad, I would intentionally go for significantly older men or like unattractive men. Yes. Because I didn't want to fuck around and accidentally fall in love. I was there strictly for business.
For me, I was trying to chase the unicorn sugar daddy that everybody's looking for. That older man that is too old to get it up. That just
wants that's about to die.
No, y'all. I was not trying to get in the man's will. I was just trying to be someone's
I was trying to get in that man's will and then wait for him to pass away the other day.
I was just trying to be that arm candy, that company, that I am an old man and I love to be seen with this beautiful young woman. That was the dream.
Yeah, no, that was true. I think, yeah, for the most part, it was kind of something where, like, I had reservations about going after a younger guy because, you know, obviously, like, with the same age group, you're bound to have a lot more interests and things in common. And I was like, oh, like, what if I accidentally fall in love with this guy? Or, like, what if he's too attractive and I fall in love with him? So I was just kind of like, okay, like, to safeguard my emotions because this is still dating, I wanted to maintain perspective and, like, keep on track with the fact that I'm here to make money. So I went for the older guys. And you know what? A lot of these men on these dating apps, like, a lot of them really are older and they're honestly just, like, too busy to have a social life. Like, yep. I know that a lot of them would be like, oh, well, I have a couple hours in the day where I'm free in between, you know, like work hours or something like mm-hmm. that. Like, can you meet me up and just have lunch with me?
I also found a lot of them were located in Los Angeles. And so they would ask me where I was located and I would just give them a general area. And the immediate reaction would be like, oh, I'm located in X, Y, and Z. How is this going to work? Because again, they're short on time and the commute is actually something they take into consideration. And so back to this whole customer service, providing a good customer service, I would take it upon myself to be like, it's not a problem. I'm pretty flexible. I can meet you in Los Angeles.
Right.
It's a commute for sure.
Yeah. And yeah, it was interesting because you would look at people in our area and the quality, I will just say the quality of men in our area, very questionable. Like, I was just even wondering, I was like, man, are a lot of these guys lying about, like, their income? Oh, but the cool thing about seeking mm-hmm. arrangement, too, was, like, you would have these profiles where they can actually, the sugar daddies can actually verify their income by, like, yes. uploading or showing, like, their bank account statements or, like, their pay stubs or something like that. And then they would have, like, a verified stamp so that you know they were the real deal. Because, unfortunately, there probably were guys on there who were just kind of, like, oh, like, I made six figures, so, like, I've made it rich, and now I can afford a sugar baby without realizing, like...
Which is far from the case. And I found, yeah. unfortunately, that the men on here that were closer to our region, they were the ones that kind of gave me the creeps. They really gave me the creeps.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for real.
They were skeevy.
Yeah, like, I think it's just our area, honestly. It's not the greatest.
There was definitely less tact. It also felt like they had less time doing this, so it's not comfortable for me.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, I want to kind of go for the bigger fish because they probably have, like, more experience, more money, they're more serious, you know, they're not just like, oh, I made my first six figures this year, like, I want to have a sugar baby now, like, they've been in the game, you know.
And they're more upfront. They make sure that you both are on the same page, that you're comfortable with the arrangement, like, it's a lot smoother.
Right. So they're a lot more serious. I honestly kind of felt like with a lot of the richer guys, to me, it feels more safer because everyone on these websites are, like, protecting their identity. So mm-hmm. if they're wealthier, that usually means they're very well connected or, like, you know, they're higher up at their company. And so they have a lot more to lose. So yes. they have to act right. Like, they can't just be acting recklessly or, like, treating like crap because they have a social status to safeguard.
And what you'll find is that a lot of these bigger fish actually have their pictures blurred. Like, they have to grant you access to see their picture. You can yeah. read their information, their bio, etc., but they do protect their identity until they feel like they match with someone who is worthwhile or really piques their interest.
Yeah, so it's actually pretty, it's safe for what it can be. You know, I think the websites have done a pretty good job of, like, safeguarding everyone's privacy and things like that. But yeah, even then, I know that, like, you got a taser. I dusted mine off.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, I never went on a date because I just wasn't successful at it. But I know I know Miss Jen over here definitely did. And
Jen Darling was playing no games. I mean, we ran through scenarios. I made sure that Sugar Baby number one had her location on at all times. Same as myself. We had protocol for, okay, we're going to check in every hour, safe word.
We shared our locations on our phone. So, yep. Like, we knew down to the freaking GPS coordinates where we were in real time.
And we had SOS language that was very unassuming. If for whatever reason in front of our sugar daddy, we had to call for the SOS. Like, I had the SWAT team ready.
We're just super paranoid people. I wasn't successful. I was too scared. I would talk to men and then like, they'd be like, I want to meet. And I was like, well, I don't. So I did talk to this super famous DJ and like, we were talking, like he always wanted to like FaceTime me and things like that. And then he was like, oh, I'm going to be, like, playing at Coachella this weekend. I would love if you came. And I was like, I would love if I came along, too. But see...
Remind me again why we didn't go on this one and why I didn't get invited as your security guard.
Because it got...
as your personal bodyguard.
Because it got too real. Like, I think for me, like, he started to scare me. I think I just realized that for me, I didn't have the nerves of steel to be able to do this. Mm. And, like, I was already a chicken when it came to just regular online dating, like, which I've just recently become open to. But for the longest time, I just had this idea of, like, meeting people from the internet just, like, gave me a lot of anxiety. So I think that that was why I wasn't willing to do it.
Got it.
But I feel like for you, because you were on dating apps already, so it was kind of, like, the same kind of jive, you know?
Yes, I hope you guys caught that very heavy long sigh. I am unfortunately considered now a veteran of the dating apps. But again, I have my safety protocols even for that.
Yes, because we can never be too sure when we meet people online. We gotta verify their identity, because you know what? Catfishing is unethical, y'all. And we have had catfishing experiences. Mm-hmm. That's a story for another day. But we didn't really have catfishing experiences on the sugaring websites, I will say that. I'm telling you, the sugaring websites are a premium paid version of the free dating apps.
Indeed.
Then there was like, okay, see, here's the thing, that this is the part that made me just kind of dipped out. There was this guy, he was like that older guy that mm-hmm. was unattractive, the one that, you know, like he worked in finance, and I was like, okay, perfect, checks all my boxes, it's foolproof, I will never fall in love with this man, but I will get paid by him. And, you know, he wanted to like basically mentor me and teach me a thing or two about investing, and so like we were kind of going back and forth on that. And then like, basically his story was that he was unhappy in his marriage. Basically, his wife was using him for his money. Mm. And he was super lonely. Like, it was one of those things where he was just like, she is dependent on my money now. And, like, I don't want to divorce her. But he also was like, I still want to have companionship. And she doesn't want to have companionship with me. So I was like, okay, like, let me take pity on this man. And then suddenly, he just, like, would impulsively just become super sexual. He'd like ask me like, oh, what are you wearing right now? And I was like, excuse me, Mr. Sir, like,
I what? Think I remember this one. He was seemingly harmless initially.
Yeah, and I honestly think that this was probably like one of those outliers, because it's normally not like this, I promise you guys. But yeah, no, I think he just had like issues.
Absolutely.
He had issues because he would be super nice to me one day and then like suddenly flip the script. He had like split personality disorder or something.
Yeah.
And then he said something that was just like, okay, I'm not comfortable with this. So I immediately just blocked him. Oh, and also, something too, you guys. Like, we actually did not use our regular phone numbers to contact these men. We actually downloaded, like, what is it, the Google phone app.
And yes, we set up
alternate numbers to further protect our identity.
Which, actually, you find out that they play the same exact game.
Yeah, they do. But I got too offended way too easily for me to get a date. Like, it just got too real for me. I didn't have the nerves of steel to do it. So, like, bless you. This is basically your podcast episode. I basically wanted to be a sugar baby who got paid for just being cute until I realized I was like, that's not how it works.
It's really not. Oh, bless our naive souls.
Okay, but what was your experience? Because I feel like you had more experience with like regular dating apps like Tinder and like Facebook dating and like Hinge versus like this premium experience.
Oh boy. Okay, well, a lot could be said about that. Truthfully, I have found that any of the regular dating apps outside of like arrangements and sugaring were just honestly disappointing. There was maybe a few I know. Wow. all of that to say, very disappointing for mm-hmm. many reasons. It's just nowadays, I find it's more difficult to make genuine connections with people, yeah. especially when you're so accessible. Everyone is so accessible
right.
via these platforms. So there was a lot of either pulling teeth where I felt like I was conducting interviews and trying to get to know this person, but the same wasn't reciprocated.
On these free, on Tinder, the free, right?
Tinder, like Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, like what have you. Versus seeking arrangements where people were very detailed. I was very detailed. And so if someone was interested, it wasn't just about physicality. It wasn't like bio, who reads the bio. No, this person read word for word. I can't tell you how many compliments I got specifically about how well written my bio was and how right. much they really enjoyed reading
it. And your
it.
Bio on like seeking arrangements, like they give you so much space. Like you're literally writing like a whole novel about yourself. And these men yeah. are like reading it from start to finish.
They're, they
like,
really are.
They really showed so much initiative. Like sugar daddies tend to know exactly what they want. They don't play games because there's literally something on the line, which is their money and their time invested, which they very much value. Whereas like, you go on freaking Tinder. You get the free version. You get the free. It's like, you know, one of those programs. You know what I'm talking about. Like on the computers, you get the free version. You get the light version. Yeah. So then you go on Tinder. You go on Hinge. They're like these free version of men. It's basically just like you don't know if you're going to get what you were talking to. Like you go in person, you realize that it's just so different, or like they don't even know what they want. They don't even know why they're on a dating app, which is just like such a waste of your time, right?
It really is.
But then you go on like the sugar daddy dating apps. And yeah, they know exactly what they want. They don't play games. They don't waste time. They're very serious about their arrangement. And I feel like for me, like because now I am on dating apps, I'm having a pretty decent experience, but granted, there are handfuls of disappointments because people online present themselves often like, it's your best foot forward. Mm-hmm. And then you get to know them and then you realize like, oh my God, like you are a mess. Whereas like, I feel like with the sugar websites, it is pretty straightforward.
It is. And I feel like it's a more mature audience as well. And not even just in age, like for example, with these regular dating apps, Even setting up a phone call, even setting up a FaceTime is very, very difficult at times. But these daddies, as soon as they connect with you right before they date, they want to call you right away. They want to FaceTime you right away. They mm-hmm. want to make sure like what you're selling is in fact what I'm getting.
Right. It's very much like business minded. You know, again, they really value their time. And I think that's also like one of the biggest traits of like wealthier people is they value their time. Like they're not here to waste around, like waste your time, waste their time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, with that being said, do you feel like it was easier to get a date on as a sugar baby versus like on Tinder? Cause I feel like you went on a good amount.
I believe I went on, what was it, like 3 or 4 dates within a 4-day career of being a sugar baby.
So yeah, that's actually a pretty good ratio.
However, again, there was a learning curve, and that's when I realized that I'm not actually a very good sugar baby.
Plot twist. She was not a good sugar baby.
You know, because there was this strategizing that we did at the beginning, and we also talked about, because we read on some of the articles about establishing your agreement right off the bat.
Right. I think that to be a good sugar baby, you have to really understand basic business mechanics of like mm-hmm. negotiation. Your dating profile it's literally your resume. So mm-hmm. you have to take great care into consideration of like curating really good photos, not so much to catfish them, but to like really highlight your assets. No pun intended. And you know, like your pictures are the product that you sell. So if you have low quality pictures, they're not going to want to get the product. And the way that you talk to them, the way that you treat them, it's a customer service experience. It's just you have to be really good at navigating through that, like, negotiation, you know, environment, which is kind of like, man, I really wish that I had nerves of steel in order to, like, actually go on a sugaring date.
You didn't miss out on much, friend.
Yeah, but I just feel like on the business side of things, your girl can kill it with the negotiations. But we'll never have that opportunity because I don't know if I still don't know if I have the steel nerves to do this again. I'm, like, really good behind the keyboard, but the idea of being there in person gives me so much anxiety I would, like, fall apart.
And I think that's why we made such a power duo, because we are the exact opposite.
Right.
I despise texting and writing, and I'm more like, just meet me in person. I'm really great in person.
Right. I'm totally not. I'm like, I will fall in love with you before I even meet you. So speaking of falling in love.
Okay. Oh, no. My story of shame.
So we always had this golden rule where whenever Jen would go on a date, I would be like, don't fuck around and fall in love.
This was the running joke.
It was a running joke, but it was also there was a layer of truth underneath that. And so, Miss Jen out here, she did what she did. She broke the golden rule.
All right, y'all. I wish I could say that this was my Julia Roberts moment, but it was not quite like that. Expectation versus reality. You know, I've been a little bit on the pessimistic side, a little bit sarcastic. And so for me, it was the running joke. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to fall in love with my sugar daddy. Little did I know that wasn't too far from the truth. Long story short, I came across this profile, but his profile was geared around, you know, wanting to help you build your future. He was basically looking to give you his, like, entrepreneurial business side support. He wasn't trying to pay the bills. He was trying to help you grow your business. And he talked about, you know, making genuine connections and all these things that I was actually looking for on a non-business end of a relationship. So I reached out to him and I sent him a message based off of the things that I felt that we actually both vibed on. And that seemed to really hit a spot with him because he matched back. We had some conversation back and forth. He was one of the big fish that eventually gave me access to his pictures as he started to get more comfortable with me. And next thing we know, we swap our Google numbers. Swap our Google numbers. There's good banter. There's good back and forth. And we agree to go on a date. Mind you, this is what should have tipped me off right off the bat, is that it was a weekday date, not a weekend date. And typically, weekday date means you are second shift. Mm-hmm. So he takes me to this very, very nice Argentinian steakhouse. And I am very, very happy that he actually looks better in person than he did in his pictures. Mm. He is very polite. He's very charming. He's funny. He's witty. And, you know, he's just very generous. And he's just making sure that I'm comfortable, that I'm okay, that everything is as I expected.
Right.
And we really hit it off. I think we sat at the table for 2.5 hours before we ran out of things to order. And we're just kind of looking at each other like, hey, I don't want this night to end, but I also don't want to invite you back to my place because I don't want to cross that boundary.
Right.
And, I followed my protocol. I excused myself to the bathroom. I gave sugar baby number one all the details. You know, I felt secure enough because he reassured me that he lived in a luxury apartment that we could just hang out at the rooftop. Like, we didn't even have to enter his apartment. And so I agreed to it. Further down the rabbit hole I go. And we go back to his place. Very respectful. He honors everything he said. I do actually wind up hanging out with him at his apartment, but kept his hands to himself, and everything was really great. And that's when we got into the discussion of, okay, he asked me point blank, what are you looking for? Because I'm not going to pay your bills, but I'm also not in the field that you're trying to enter. So how can I be beneficial to you? And I sat there as if we hadn't gone over the game plan, as if we hadn't made any plans up until this point. Like, what do I want from this man? I like this man.
And then she did the thing, y'all. She fell in love.
Oh, I sure did. Close to falling in love anyway.
I think you tripped. You definitely tripped.
I did. So when the conversation was presented, he was very upfront and he asked me, so what are you looking for? And to be honest, I was stumped because I had asked myself this question before going on this date with this man. Like, okay, this is not someone who is kind of in your regular realm of sugar daddy. So what do I want from this? And well, I do want to be successful. I do want to do my own thing. So I was like, okay, maybe he can guide me in the right direction. Maybe I can network through him, X, Y, and Z. But now I'm sitting here and this is someone I can actually see myself dating. Someone I actually want to get to know without these parameters. And he had jokingly told me before, you know, like, what if I had met you at the gym and I had gone up to you? Would you have given me your number? And I took that second. And I looked at him and I told him yes. And he was surprised. He was like, yes? And I was like, yes. So we started dating. We did a day trip out to J-Tree, and basically all expenses were paid for. All accommodations had already been made. I offered to get snacks. He wanted me to let him know how much the snacks were. I was like, sir, please. I am a peasant, but I can afford snacks.
See, this is exactly how you're not a, this is how you don't be a sugar baby. It's like to offer to pay for your own stuff.
Ma'am, it's some snacks. A girl can afford $20 worth of snacks. She got integrity, y'all. Little bit of dignity.
You're, as a sugar baby, I don't know, I think that we're just doing bad business if we're still having to pay for stuff out of pocket.
This might be true. Reflecting back, especially since he did wind up doing me dirty anyway. I should have charged him those damn snacks.
Yeah. Wait, how exactly did he do you dirty?
Well, let's fast forward, y'all. I'm over here thinking that I am in a secure type relationship, when in reality, I got ghosted, just like I would have in any other scenario. This individual had told me that he was in the process of initiating a divorce. I believe, my spidey senses tell me that this man was never actually getting divorced, and he was living a double life. Yes, yes, and this is where the tea gets juicy, y'all. You know, girls, we talk. And so I found out from another friend who works with a lot of rich clients that this type of situation and lifestyle is not uncommon. It is not uncommon for men to work in the business realm that have to negotiate with other countries to have their own separate apartment, which their wives are totally okay with, under the excuse that because they have to be in business calls at random hours so that they don't disrupt the family dynamic, they just chill in this separate apartment Monday through Friday, facilitating the perfect facade. And so I believe now, because of the fact that Sir was over here wanting to have a relationship and then out of the blue just dipped out, that his Monday through Friday schedule was no longer clear and he went back to his wife and his children.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
So he literally just like walked into your life, like made you fall in love with him.
Basically, yes.
Checked out, like, just goodbye. And
without so much as a goodbye, actually.
That's messed up. So he Irish goodbyed you. He gave you an Irish goodbye. Okay, but how, okay, for all that heartbreak and, like, being ghosted, how much did you get paid?
So I got paid in the form of one personal training session at $100. And I also, I was also paid in the form of some small gifts, some small thoughtful gifts, because we had established this too at the beginning. I told him, I don't want you buying me lavish things. I want you, if you see something that reminds you of me, go for it. I want thoughtful gifts. Woman, I was trying to date at this point. We had thrown the sugar baby, sugar daddy thing to the side.
See, this is how to not be a sugar baby is to now start paying for your own things.
She's not wrong.
I'm telling you, this is a business. This is a business. We gotta run it like a business. And this is why our motto was don't fuck around and fall in love. Because she fell in love. Did she get paid?
I would say definitely
minuscule pennies. Pennies. She got paid pennies. Even though she got a big fish. That man was a big fish.
Yeah, he really was. He really was. And I was a very naive fish.
And then he was basically just
having his best life, escaping from reality.
And then we need to go fight him.
You know what? Honestly, so many of my friends wanted to, and I was like, no, y'all.
Yeah, well, I'm actually glad that despite, like, his dishonesty, like, it wasn't, like, a dangerous situation. You know what I mean? Did you ever feel like when you were going on these dates, did you ever feel like scared or like anxious that this was like an uncertain situation?
I don't think scared, because I definitely made sure that I would look up in advance where we were meeting and making sure that it was very public, knowing that there's cameras in place so that there's footage of where I was step by step.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it also boils down to like, how good are you at reading people? You know, like, are you willing to go with somebody who is a little skeevy, or you want to look for someone who's more refined? I think it's very similar to the parameters that you said with, like, with regular dating. You know what I mean? I think it's only as scary as you allow it to be. And I think also boundaries are important. Just don't put yourself in a dangerous situation. Like with online dating, like with meeting anybody online, don't put yourself in a dangerous situation. But honestly, in some ways, I feel like sugar dating, it feels like it's safer. Because, yeah, there's that, again, extra layer of security where both parties really don't want to reveal their true identities.
There's a paper trail.
Yeah, there's a paper trail. A lot of these men are in higher places, so they've got a lot more to risk if their identity gets outed. So you have to be good at, like, socially navigating these kinds of difficulties. And yeah, if you are kind of an overthinker, or if you're anxious, or you like worry about things like safety a lot, this is probably not going to be for you. Like, sugaring is going to be a little difficult if you don't feel like you have like that street smart to be able to like navigate through those situations and like hustle and make sure that you're getting paid for what you're worth. You know what? It kind of sucks that you didn't, I don't feel like you had like very positive experiences, because like I think about my other friends who, you know, had sugared for quite a bit, and they had some really wild experiences where, you know, I know that one of my friends, like, just got, like, a full set of, like, custom monogram designer bags. You know, she actually got taken on vacation to, like, the Maldives.
You know, and I think a lot of us have similar stories, too, because I definitely have friends and friends of friends who have found success, and they're blissfully happy in their arrangements, and just, unfortunately, this lifestyle just did not choose me back.
It didn't choose me back either. I never got to go on my date. I think I had a couple dates that lined up, but then they just like would cancel. They canceled on me like when it got closer to the weekend. I think it was because they were like kind of evaluating their prospects. And I did not make the cut.
Yeah, everybody, see? A slice of humble pie before you enter it. Mm-hmm. You may not be the one and only or at the top of the list, so just be aware.
Yeah, so it is to be a really successful sugar baby, to make that kind of money, I think there needs to be this understanding that it's just not easy. It's not good enough to be attractive.
And it's very time consuming. Like, very. If this is something that this is going to be your prime source of like income or getting ahead, then yeah, absolutely. It takes dedication. But I think for the average Joe Schmo, where this was supposed to be more of like a side hustle to assist what we were already doing, we just really took the time and we're like, it takes me X amount of time to get ready. It takes me X amount of time to make it out there. I spent X amount of time with this individual, and then X amount of time, like, it was taking big chunks out of our schedule.
It makes me sad because I feel like part of me wants to try again just to say that, like, my ego is like, I want to say that I went on a date and I got paid a couple $100s for it. But then also, like, I think about, like, the time and the energy that I put towards, like, looking through profiles and trying to talk to them and trying to, like, flirt with them to get a date by Friday. Like,
yeah, I was
like,
that got really exhausting.
It got exhausting really quick. Like, I found myself actually not working anymore because I was like focused just trying to strike up these conversations, and like that kind of like engagement, that kind of social engagement gets really exhausting.
Especially when you have the type that is there to waste your time and he's just trying to find someone to chat with online.
Right. Yeah, because we do have some imposter daddies who really just go there because they want a more heightened dating experience, and like a lot of them, sometimes they don't make the money that they do. And I think it just goes back to, like, I kind of feel like in a lot of ways, we're kind of, like, painting this, like, negative light on sugaring. But, like, don't get me wrong. I think that sugaring could be a really lucrative way to earn money if you're like, totally accepting of that culture. Like, you just see it as it is what it is. Like, you're good at business. Like, you know what you're, you know, like, how to put your best foot forward, right? Like, you have to be a very charming person who can navigate through these social climates, like, very, very well. And if you're not, which is case in point, like you and I, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, sugar baby number one and sugar baby number two, we didn't have a good time because we just weren't good at it. And, you know, for me, I was just kind of like, all right, well, I'm just gonna go get a 9-to-5. This is too much. This is too much, like, startup. There's, like, no guarantee. Like, you'd be talking to a guy the whole time and then, like, he can suddenly ghost you, or, like, you're just wasting all your energy because there's no guarantee that you're going to get paid out at the end of
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
It's, again, you just need to be really good at business, and, like, you need to know yourself, and you need to be, like, really open with, like, this line of work.
And I think, too, that when there's that window to present what it is you're looking for, be adamant, be direct, and be very specific, because, yeah, that is very common that you could easily get scammed. You go on this date and you're waiting at the end, like, okay, you know, payment please. And these people don't follow through.
Right. Yeah. And you have to be good to navigate through that in a way that doesn't turn them off, but still addresses the topic. It's a very tricky space. So again, negotiation skills are very important in this. But you know, getting the date is the first obstacle.
Really. The first obstacle, vetting and getting that date.
Yeah.
Do not fall in love, y'all.
Don't fall in love. And like on that topic, do you feel like sugaring is pro-feminism, or do you feel like it is sexist and reinforces toxic masculinity?
You know what? It's kind of funny because to me that is a dual answer.
Right.
I started this very hopeful. You know, I am not the type of person that has been very confident in her sexuality. Just because of my upbringing, you know, just because of culture and all the things I was used to about women covering up. And if you own your sexuality, you know, you get slut shamed and all these things. So I entered this thinking, well, as women, we get sexualized all the time. So why not actually get compensated for it on my terms? Again, this is young, naive, before I went on this venture, very idealistic. And, you know, for the most part, I felt that I did. For the ones that were polite and the ones that I was like, no, you know what, I don't think this is going to work out, I did. Now, however, when it came to the skeevy ones, like the one that I went on a date with that made me want to kind of vomit in my own mouth, that I felt like at that moment, I felt less empowered in that specific scenario. So I want to say yes, absolutely. If this is something that you're comfortable with, it's in your terms. You're doing everything. You're not doing anything that you're not comfortable with. Absolutely. Who's to tell you? However, if you feel like it makes you feel cheap or you feel like you're pressured into doing what you don't want, then absolutely not. So I guess it really just depends on what you're comfortable with, what your goals are, what your morals are, and what you wind up getting out of it.
Yeah, I find myself straddling that edge between this culture, like, this is technically a contribution to the culture of toxic masculinity that I don't like, because I feel like it reinforces that gender role of men need to be the providers, and, like, women just need to sit there and be pretty and be, you know, dependent on the man to provide for them kind of thing. But then also part of me is, like, I support a lot of progressive, non-traditional things, like... Mm. You know, I'm very pro-sex. I think that it's empowering for women to be able to look at themselves and, like, know what they have to offer and, you know, just, like, fully step into that femininity and just being like, yeah, I know I'm beautiful. I know that I'm sexy. I know that I'm charming. I know that, like, I've got a certain kind of, like, feminine prowess that just men just don't have. And if you can own that, I think you would do really well as a sugar baby, you know, in dating in general. But, yeah, as a sugar baby, like, it takes a certain kind of...
Confidence and person, really.
Yeah, and I think that in that respect, having that kind of level of complete faith and confidence and fully embracing, like, leading with your sexuality and, like, leading with the fact that you are a woman, I think in a lot of ways that is very pro-feminism.
Absolutely.
So it's really just, like, whatever way you want to look at it, kind of like what you were saying earlier, if it's a disempowering experience, no. But you obviously don't want to do it in that frame of mind. If you feel like this is something that is still taboo to you, or like you just kind of feel like you'd be embarrassed to talk about it, it's probably not going to be your thing. If you're the kind of person that, like, oh, like, you can have these experiences and, like, talk about them and share with them and be like, oh my God, girl, like, I went on this crazy date and blah, blah, blah. If you're that kind of person, then you're probably going to have that more resilient personality that can kind of withstand this kind of dating environment. But I know a couple sugar babies who just have this, like, these, like, nerves of steel. Mm-hmm. Like, they do not get offended easily. They have, like, the biggest confidence, like, the healthiest confidence I've ever seen. And they do well. They do well as sugar babies. So I think it just really goes to show, like, this industry does not leave any space for insecurities.
It really doesn't.
It doesn't. And it's not even just physical insecurities. It's about, like, believing in yourself, mm-hmm. saying things with your chest, like, mm-hmm. really reinforcing your boundaries,
absolutely.
Saying what you're worth, go getting what you're worth, mm-hmm. like, all that stuff. You need to have that kind of mentality in order to be good as a sugar baby. And then also, then there's the next step of now being a good businesswoman and, like, networking and all that stuff. But if you guys want to try it out and see for yourself and, you know, formulate your own opinions, I have a couple links in the show notes so you guys can check out, like, all these resources. Tell me your story, you know, slide into my DMs, slide into Jen's DMs, and tell us about your crazy dating experiences as a sugar baby. Tell us about how much money you've made to date. We've made zero. I've made $0 and Jen has made $100.
And some gifts. Be kind, y'all. I am well aware that I failed as a sugar baby.
It's okay. We live to tell the tale. Not everyone can be successful.
You know what I
and
love?
And that's neither of us.
You know what I love, though, that I entered this with this image of that alter ego that I wanted to carry. I channeled my inner Nicole Kidman and Moulin Rouge. Absolutely. I was the courtesan until I wasn't, and reality came and slapped me in the face.
It was a self-esteem booster, right?
Yeah, like, it was definitely an ego boost.
It really was. You know, cheers to, like, healthy dating experiences, whether it's sugar dating or just regular free dating. Hope you guys have really good experiences, and guess just a reminder to go after what you feel you're worth.
I mean, in general in life, know your worth, but especially on seeking arrangements.
Especially know your damn worth. Know your worth, because if you don't, you don't get paid. And if you don't get paid, then what's the point?
You can make a really funny podcast about it.
But yeah, I think that we... I don't know, honestly, if we have convinced you to be a sugar baby or if we've convinced you away from it, but you can draw your own conclusions. If you enjoyed today's episode, remember to subscribe to the podcast, leave your review. It really helps us get in front of all the people who deserve to listen to this great podcast. So that is it for today. And if you guys want any resources, just remember it is linked in the show notes. And we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Use your best sugar baby voice.
Goodbye.
Ew, this is why you didn't get paid.
Oh, yeah? Who went on dates and who didn't?
You know what? We're going to stop it right here.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed this one, please leave us a review on iTunes so we can keep producing more episodes for you to listen to. And the conversation doesn't end here. If you had any great takeaways from today that you'd like to share, post it on Instagram and tag me at @theballeronabudget so we can chat. Follow me on Insta if you haven't already, or subscribe to my newsletter at www.theballeronabudget.com so we can stay connected. We'll be back with another episode soon. But until then, keep ballin', baller fam.